The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Another exciting edition of The Thought Police, and a particularly exciting edition of The Thought Police, because not only are you able to listen to this one with me and Kevin O'Sullivan, you're able to watch it as well. So if you want to watch it as well as listening to it, you can join our Patreon account, go to our Thought Police podcast, or in fact just go to the Thought Police Twitter page.
Yeah, it's an all singing, all dancing, yeah. Thought Police. I'll be doing the singing, Mike will be doing the dancing. Yeah. So stand by for 1 hour of stupendous fucking entertainment.
It's an hour we're doing.
It won't be an hour.
About 45 minutes, probably.
Yeah, you can fuck off after about 20 minutes.
Yeah. But there is also extra stuff that we do for patrons.
Yeah,
as well.
There is.
And where we're going to hear about your latest car problems.
Oh, Speedy Gonzales.
Speedy Gonzales.
Another speeding ticket.
Another one.
I'll tell you all about it later.
Anyway, so welcome
fuck to. Fuck my luck.
Yeah, fuck my life. Welcome to the Thought Police Pair of Tits edition. Yeah. Off you go.
We are the pair of tits. This morning, we're going to kick off with something I saw on the BBC this morning, on BBC Breakfast, just before 7 a.m. I start early.
That's keen. I was still in bed.
This is the BBC One Breakfast host, Sally Nugent, talking about what I would consider to be one of the greatest acts of bravery, brilliance and ingenuity in British history, the Dam Busters raid, which heroic RAF pilots put their lives on the line and changed the course of the war. This helped us win World War II, and we know about the famous film that was made about it. This is what Sally Nugent described it as. So here we go.
Just play it up, hold it up to your microphone.
Here we go.
If you can.
Yeah, I'm trying to. Yeah, well, I knew this would happen.
Right. Come on.
Oh, just try. Hang on.
What the fuck are you wrong
fuck
with
off,
you?
Fuck off. No. I'm getting this. Here we go. Here we go.
Thanks so much for talking us through it. And best wishes to you and your wife and friends. Thanks for joining.
Forget that bit.
Still to come here on Breakfast. 80 years after 19 Lancaster bombers took part in the infamous Dam Buster raid, tonight a special anniversary flypast will take place over Lincolnshire to mark the occasion. We will have all of the details. That's coming up at 10 to 8 this morning.
Well, gee, Sally, why would we be having that special 80-year anniversary special flypast if this fucking event was so infamous? A complete window into the tortured, vile, unpatriotic soul of the anti-British Broadcasting Corporation. Yeah. Absolute bloody disgrace.
Absolutely
right?
Horrendous. I mean, infamous is not a word you would use to describe that, because it was, as you say, heroic.
Famous.
Even if you were somebody who thought, for example, that the bombing of Dresden might have been a bit over the top, you know, you could call that infamous and possibly get away with it.
Controversial, certainly.
But not the fucking Dam Busters.
Yeah,
the Dam Busters was incredible. I mean, the idea that these guys came up with a plan which involved dropping a bouncing fucking bomb.
Barnes Wallace
drops a bouncing bomb, which then has to be kind of figured out so that it bombs a dam, so that it doesn't bounce over the dam, it bounces right into it. It was fucking extraordinary.
Yeah, and those pilots trained for months to fly at unprecedented low altitudes. I mean, literally feet above the reservoir.
Yeah, yeah.
So that they could get the right trajectory. So these guys were risking, you know, flying straight into the fucking dam. It was an act of extraordinary heroism.
Yeah.
And as I say, it was an event that changed the course of the war, helped us win, a tribute to ingenuity, brilliance and bravery, particularly by the designer Barnes Wallis and those hero pilots. And the fucking BBC says, calls it the infamous Dam Busters raid. What a fucking outrage.
It's a disgrace. And I mean, that's such a shit programme anyway, that fucking breakfast. Well,
there is.
BBC breakfast. Sally Nugent, whose husband has just left her, no fucking wonder. Maybe he's in support.
He's probably in the RAF.
Maybe that's why she called it infamous. He's certainly, perhaps he's an historian and they didn't agree about it. But yeah, I mean, she used to be the sports presenter.
Yeah.
And I've never fucking liked her. She's got a terrible fucking manner about her. And now they've promoted her to sit on the couch with that other fuckwit. Charlie, whatever his name is. And they always get things massively fucking wrong. And they always get the tone of everything wrong, don't they?
Yeah, well, that is a very bad tone. I mean, it was explained to me, oh, well, later on in the show, at 10 to 8, so that was just before 7 a.m. Later on, around about 10 to 8, they did the actual feature. And the special guest on it was Al Murray, the pub landlord.
Oh, yeah.
Who actually, in fairness, is a sort of double first in history from Oxford.
Oh, is he?
He is a historian. Right. He's a very clever, educated guy. So that's not a bad guess. And in fairness to him, he called it famous.
Yes.
As opposed to infamous. So the rest of the show...
I'm amazed that they found somebody who was not some lefty fucking historian who said that we were warmongering against the poor Germans.
Well, it was somebody said to me, oh, well, you know, she's just a slip of the tongue. I said, no, it's not a fucking slip of the tongue. And they also said, oh, yeah, well, it's probably some stupid young assistant producer who'd written the script and didn't quite realise. No. So in other words, there's more than one person involved there. So the producer will see that, somebody wrote it, the entire team see it, and they just let it go through.
Yeah.
Infamous. Like fuck's sake.
Well, it's a bit like, do you remember when you pointed it out, when Diane Abbott wrote the letter to The Observer? The Observer
didn't think
it was a story because to them she was right.
Yeah.
And the fact was that you couldn't suffer from racism unless you were black.
So to them,
that wasn't a fucking story worth putting on the front page.
Exactly right. But somehow or other, anti-Semitic racism wasn't as bad as racism against people of color.
No, anti-Semitic racism is just the same as calling somebody ginger.
Yeah, that's right. What an analogy.
Calling to Diane Abbott. Yeah, okay, Diane, sure. Why are you wearing two different fucking shoes?
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong, but they never exterminated 6 million people with ginger hair, did they? So fuck you, Diane Abbott.
No, quite. And she's still suspended, by the way.
She's suspended from the Parliamentary Labour Party, as is Jeremy Corbyn.
What about the investigation? What's happening there?
They need to fucking investigate?
I know. She wrote a letter. It was published. That's the end, isn't
it? It's not a bad story, that, is it?
Yeah,
I'm fucking going to do that tomorrow.
What's happening with Diane Abbott?
Well, what are the results of this investigation? But this is the duplicitousness of... That's Keir Starmer. I've acted toughly.
Yeah.
You know, I've thrown them out. He hasn't thrown them out of the Labour Party.
Right.
They're still members of the Labour Party.
Well, whatever he has done, he's bound to do the reverse in about 3 months' time because that's what he always does. He says he believes in one thing and then 3 months later he doesn't believe in it anymore and he believes in something completely different.
Yeah, and now he wants to...
He wants to give EU citizens the vote, doesn't
he? He wants to turn Britain into the only country in the world that allows non-citizens to vote.
Yeah, great. Although you can do it in Scotland, to be fair, but that's not a country.
And which way does he think that they'll all vote? Oh, I know, Labour. It's just trying to fucking rig the election.
Yeah. Why would they vote Labour? They're not that fucking stupid. I mean, you know, they want to come to this country to work and earn some fucking money and presumably not pay too much tax. Why would you vote for Labour?
Well, don't forget, Blair tried to do the same thing. He did. He rigged it all up. He changed all the constituency boundaries and all that sort of thing, and it backfired.
Yeah.
That's when he lost Scotland.
Yeah.
He always thought he'd win Scotland, and of course he completely lost.
Well, that was why he gave them devolution, wasn't it?
So
he thought he was going to safeguard Labour and destroy nationalism. Yeah. How's that going for your tone?
Yeah, well, these Labour arseholes have been trying to rig democracy so that there's an inbuilt majority for Labour forevermore. Mm. They've been trying to do this now for 30, 40 years. If there's one thing Labour politicians fucking hate, it's democracy.
Oh, yeah, they absolutely do. Speaking of which, Rishi Sunak's off to Iceland today. He's going to see the Council of Europe. Nobody knows what that is.
Yeah.
But presumably it's a lot of very high.
He's gone off to Iceland to see some geezer there.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, hey! I'm here all week.
Yeah. Anyway, he's going to apparently try and convince the Council of Europe, whoever they are.
Who is the Council of Europe?
I don't know. It's a bit like
the Council of Europe.
Yeah. He's going to try and convince them that immigration is a massive problem for the whole of Europe, which of course it is. I think we knew that.
Yeah, but it's a bigger
problem. The idea is you're supposed to fucking stop it, not just fucking tell everybody it's a bad thing.
Yeah. Oh, listen. Hi, guys. Yeah, this immigration is a real problem for all of Europe, and... I won't be mentioning that I'm letting in a million a year legally. Unbelievable.
What did you make of him hugging his fellow dwarf, fucking Vladimir Zelensky?
Yeah, I saw it like I said last night on the telly. I said, oh, look, they're going out with each other.
Yeah.
It's a bromance.
I mean, they're both the same size, which I find quite weird. Because you don't normally find two people that small in the same fucking place together.
Well, Zelensky's fatter, though. That's because I think he's been pigging out on wartime rations.
Yeah, probably,
But
have you ever eaten Ukrainian food?
It's
not good.
But it's not. The thing is, you know, we stand with Ukraine and hope Zelensky wins and all this, but, you know, we are giving that guy more and more money. Yeah. All right, that's...
All he's got to do is turn up. And he gets fucking given a check.
Yeah, so the money, okay, that doesn't...
I wish we weren't
doing it, but it doesn't do any harm. But we're giving them more and more powerful, dangerous weapons. Mm. And Putin and the Kremlin are getting more and more pissed off with this. So our big love for Zelensky, we're going to fucking love him when Putin goes, right, that's enough, and retaliates against us.
Yeah, but that's okay, don't worry, because we've got that super alarm system in place now. So if there's any Russian missiles coming our way, your phone will go off and you'll know to go and hide in a fucking cellar. By the way, a lot of people asked me this question a couple of weeks ago when it fucking pissed down with rain.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was actually last week, right?
Better specify.
Yeah. Pissed down with rain last week quite heavily in sort of, you know, real kind of thunder spots. And lots of places got flooded. But the fucking alarm didn't go off. And the alarm's supposed to go off with floods, isn't it?
I
got to fucking Canada Water Station. And they'd closed half of it off because there was water cascading down the stairs, right? It's typical British fashion. You know, it rains a bit for 5 minutes and it was like, oh, fuck. Yeah. But nobody got an alarm. Nobody got a fucking warning. You know, dangerous floods. Beware. Don't go anywhere. I mean, you know, what the fuck?
Fucking ridiculous anyway.
But more importantly, we should talk about immigration because Rishi has gone to the Council of Europe in Iceland to talk about it. But, you know, we're going to find out, we think, next week, towards the end of next week, that a million people came here in 2022, legally, with fucking our permission.
Forget about
the fucking illegal boat people. These are people who are coming here, supposedly. I mean, if you can't spot a fucking scam, then you shouldn't be in government. People are coming here supposedly to study, right? They're bringing their families with them. They're bringing their kids with them. You know, what are you going to do? Oh, yeah, I'm going to study business for a year. Oh, are you? Really? Oh, well, in you come.
They're also coming here to do low-wage jobs. You know, so we used to have a system where, you know, immigration, if you're bringing in qualified, highly skilled people...
doctors.
...to do specialist jobs is a good thing.
Yeah.
Our system now is they're not interested in qualified people. We are letting in hundreds of thousands of unqualified, low-skilled workers to do low-wage jobs because we have a low-wage economy and we have to fill those jobs that the lazy fucking Brits won't do.
Yeah, but it's not their fault they won't do them. The reason they won't do them is they get paid not to fucking work. I mean, if you were paid not to work, you wouldn't fucking work either.
Sure. But, you know, don't forget...
Not that you do much work.
That's slightly unfair.
But what we do isn't really work, is it?
No, that's right. Just
I mean, I used to work a lot harder when I was in newspapers. You had to be there for a lot longer from the start.
Yeah, that's dreadful.
I mean, you know.
Actually, I disagree with that. The problem with broadcasting is you have to be there. Yeah. Newspapers, you never have to be there.
Also,
and I rarely was.
And also, you have to be relatively sober to broadcast most of the time as well. Whereas
that's a big problem.
We could spend entire days absolutely shit-faced in newspapers, and actually the papers were better.
It's actually compulsory.
The papers were better. The papers, when we were in them, sold more and were much more imaginative and were funnier because we were all drunk.
No, exactly. But 650,000 people after the furlough scheme, which was extended far too long.
Have basically never come back to work,
was extended far too long by who? Rishi Sunak, when he was Chancellor.
Without money.
They've never gone back to work. So, you know, to say, oh, well, you know, it's because they get more money from the benefits. So there's an element of that. But basically, we got millions of lazy fucking bastards in this country.
Yeah, it's true.
Shirkers.
Yeah, and they're never going to go back to work because they're never going to be able to dismantle the benefit system. It's so complicated, the benefit system, right? You're either on universal benefit or you're on disability benefit. Yeah. And, of course, mental health problems are now the latest disability benefit because nobody's got the fucking cojones to say, hang on a minute, you say you've got mental health problems, well, what are they?
Yeah.
You just go, oh, fucking hell, I better just give you some free money because we can't ask you that question because that would be wrong and that would be prejudicial to your well-being, you know.
So check this out, right? So legal immigration is just absurd. A million this year, a million next year, it's going to carry on. This massive influx, annual influx into a country that is officially fucking full.
Yeah.
Can't take this. We haven't got the infrastructure for it. So on the illegal immigration problem, the illegal migrants, right? So what's going on? Oh, I'm going to stop the boats. And then he says, oh, I'm going to commandeer.
Then he said he wasn't going to stop the boats.
Well, then he says, I'm going to commandeer as many barges as I can. Well, what do you want? So he's actually increasing the number of boats. So I'm going to find new, cheaper places to put these people. Yeah, great. Yeah. Well, you wouldn't need to do it if you stop the fucking boats, would you? So I did this story on Sunday, right? I found this place. There's a place down near Bexhill, quite near where you live, Mike. And it's called, you might know, it's called North Eye Prison. North Eye Prison.
Yeah, I was there.
It's derelict.
I was there at the weekend. Okay, I went to have a look at it.
Okay, it's derelict.
I took the dog there.
It's totally derelict. It's a pile of fucking bricks with asbestos. The government...
It's not actually completely derelict. It's just very run down. It was used most recently, funnily enough, by Emirates Airlines.
Yeah.
And we got a story about that later. Well, but they were using it as like a training base.
Okay.
But the thing is, I went to look at it like a few weeks ago just to see what it was like. It's at the end of a very residential road.
Yeah.
There's houses there.
Yeah.
There's little kids' trampolines there in the front. There's people living there quite happily. Yeah. It's very quiet. Yeah. It's a cul-de-sac. And then there's this fucking place, which they won't lock because they can't lock them in.
Well, we haven't told them the story yet.
And what are they going to fucking do?
Well, they're going to... The government is spending an estimated £20 million to renovate this dilapidated, derelict prison and turn it into an asylum seekers residential centre for, wait for it, 1,200 migrants.
Right.
Now, the nearest village, as you said, Mike, is a place called Little Common. There's about 500 people there. They're terrified.
Well,
terrified.
The street where this thing is at the end of is about... fucking like 10 or 12 houses and there's a couple of houses behind and it's mostly residential care homes along the main road and there's nothing there so what are they going to do?
This is
wander about.
Yeah, but this shit is going on all over the country.
Yeah.
It's the untold story. RAF Scampton, where they actually filmed the dam busters to go back to the dam busters. They filmed it there. That's been disused for some years. They're now renovating that to put, like, I think it's about 500 migrants into.
I think it's more than that.
Okay, probably you're right. Migrant local villages furious. And what's happening is these villages and these local communities, they just suddenly are told, right, there's a migrant centre right next to you. You've got no say in it. And I'll tell you where the government's able to do that. Emergency laws brought in during the COVID crisis, which means they do not have to consult with local communities before imposing these
migrants.
They'll
also
it's a fucking outrage.
But they'll also pay the local councils per head that they take. Yeah. So the councils are up for it because they get a load of
money. 3,500.
Because they get a load of fucking money.
3,500 per migrant.
Yeah.
So that ensures the council goes along with it. You know, so you've got this kind of strange... it's like a kind of fungus-like invasion going on, and we got no say in it. This country is riding for some serious shit with all of this.
It really is, because we can't just keep taking more and more fucking people and pretending that it doesn't make any difference. It took me 3.5 fucking hours to drive to Lewis on Friday, right?
Yeah.
Which should have been about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
3.5 fucking hours.
Yeah, yeah.
Because London was most of it. Trying to get out of London. It was rail strike day, of course. Yeah. But even then... All these people are driving fucking cars.
Yeah, of course they are.
There's no wonder there's no fucking way to get out of town.
But Sunak's gone from... it was in March, end of March or something, when remember he stood at that lectern with stop the boats in front of it?
Yeah.
I'm going to stop the boats. He's gone from that in less than 2 months to I'm finding cheaper places to put them than hotels.
Right.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Great.
You're not actually
but they're not that cheap. Because...
Well, I said to them, they might as well get more of these barges, right, and just set them up across one behind another. Across the channel, and they can just fucking walk here, you know. What's the fucking difference?
It's a fucking joke.
It really is.
It's a fucking joke.
It really is a fucking joke. Anyway, should we talk about something funny?
Yep.
Instead.
Yeah. In our view.
Super rats.
Oh, super rats. Yeah, super tell rats. Me about
well,
this.
Well, I've decided these are woke super rats. They're worse than super rats. They're big fuckers. They're about this big. They're 2 to 3 feet long. They are. I'm not joking. And if you fucking see one of those, you will know all about it, right? And the reason they're woke...
yeah, please explain.
The reason they're woke rats is because of two things, right? One, they were created in the fucking lockdown for a start. So the wokey...
Two of their members are Just Stop Oil.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they keep gluing themselves to shit. The reason that they have infested various parts of the country where they weren't before is because when the lockdown came, they didn't eat food in restaurants anymore because it wasn't cast around.
Right.
So all the restaurants were shut. Right. So they then worked out that all the food was actually in the fucking suburbs because people were ordering more food at home. There's more food waste knocking around at home. So they've gone there. Also, one of the reasons why they haven't been killed off is because we've stopped poisoning rats. Because that's not environmentally friendly, and we're not supposed to be allowing anybody to do any harm to animals. I know you're an animal lover, but they're not allowed, you know, it's all about rewilding the fucking place. And so they get bigger, they get fatter, they get stronger, and they're fucking, you know, you're going to wake up one morning, it's going to be one of your fucking cornflakes.
Yeah.
It's fucking huge.
It'd be a big bowl of cornflakes.
Yeah, it would. No, but seriously. I'm not joking.
They say that, I'm sure this is apocryphal, but they say that the biggest rat ever found was in Naples, came up from the sewers, and it was the size of a mini.
Slightly bigger than Maradona.
Yeah. But the thing about rats is, yeah. But
they're very clever,
but not
rats,
as fat. The thing about rats is they're one of those animals that there's no natural limit to their growth. Yeah. So humans, for example, you know, there's a point where we grow no more. But rats...
just keep growing.
In the right circumstances.
But this is it.
Can keep
and they've
on
got,
growing.
Now they've got unlimited sources of fucking food, right? When I was in New York, I lived in this place on 30th Street and I had a garden and there was a house at the end of the street. Which was an old abandoned place. It was apparently full of rats. And when they knocked it down, the fucking rats just ran everywhere. And they started to infest my garden, right? And I would go out and Emma, my daughter, was only small in those days. She had one of those little walkers, you know, she was about 18 months old. And we used to put her out in the garden and she'd toddle around. And I'm like, we can't fucking put her out. This fucking place is infested with rats, right? So I used to go out. I used to go out to try and kill them. In the
just
summer.
Bring your daughter in. Don't kill the rats.
Yeah. No, I used to kill the rats, and I had a spade.
Cool, sitting there.
I had a spade, right? And this my method was to try and catch them because they would run across the fucking thing, and I'd have this spade, and I would literally swing it like a golf club. And if I fucking managed to connect, the fucking rats would go over the fence. It was fantastic. Once we went away, and we had this like a dustbin full of ice for a party we'd had. And we all got too pissed, and couldn't be bothered. Anyway, went away for the weekend, came back and the fucking dustbin, all the ice had melted and it was just full of water and bloated rats that had crawled in and fucking drowned. Literally drowned rats.
I just imagine...
And I had to bury them in the garden.
Your fucking neighbours in Manhattan. That cunt, that English cunt makes girls playing rat golf again.
It was quite a good system. I would say I would get about 3 out of 5 of them.
Well, you know, talking of American scourges, and you'll know about this in New York, but when I was living in L.A., remember the earthquake, 94, 95?
Yeah, when you got the dog.
Yeah. That's when we picked up our dog afterwards. So, big earthquake, 100,000 people made over, 50,000 died or something like that. Anyway... So
was that 89?
No. It's about 95, 94, okay. Something like
89
that.
89 in San Francisco.
95, yeah.
Yeah.
I wrote a piece in the Mirror saying, "You don't know uncertainty until you don't understand uncertainty until you don't know the ground under your feet," which is basically it. Anyway, so that was bad enough, you know. But about like a couple of days later, I saw a couple of cockroaches in the kitchen. So you don't get as many in LA as you do in Manhattan, but you do get them. They're all over. Anyway, I saw a few more. And then one about 3 days, I opened the cutlery drawer. Fucking thousands of them.
Why?
Thousands of them. You know there's different types. There's
German,
little round
German
ones and the big ones.
Yeah.
Fucking thousands of them. Anyway, the funny thing about them is you open the drawer, thousands of them, literally riding around, shut the drawer, open again, they've all gone.
Where'd they go?
The fuck knows. They're good. They're good at lying low. Anyway, in the end, our entire apartment, everywhere you went, fucking hell, more of them, fuck. And it turned out that underneath our apartment block, it was more of a house, our apartment. It was a house in West Hollywood that used to belong to Marlene Dietrich. So it was a brilliant apartment. You might have come there.
I think it did.
It was full of these chandeliers and massive mirrors.
I think I did.
It was near Barney's Beanery, anyway. Yeah. So anyway.
I don't remember much about it, sadly.
We were rather on the piss. Anyway, so it turned out that... Excuse me. But what happened was...
Should we take a break? I need to get another drink.
We're going to take a break while I gargle some salt water. Yeah. what happened was that there was old drain pipes underneath the house. Rusty old things. Been there for fucking years.
Yeah.
And the earthquake ruptured them. Broke them.
Oh, shit.
And living in these pipes were just zillions of fucking cockroaches and insects and things. And they all came surging up into our apartment.
Yeah, I remember a friend of mine moved into a new building apartment, and they basically poisoned the fucking ground where they built the building to make sure they had cockroach free.
Yeah,
and the fucking cockroaches mutated because they somehow learned how to fucking get around all this shit, and they were white. And I was remember being in her kitchen, and this fucking white cockroach came. I said, you've got a cockroach. And she's like, that's not a cockroach. I said, fuck, it is. It's a white one.
They come in all shapes and sizes.
Yeah, because the most used, the ones you normally would see in America, in New York,
were called the
brown ones.
The classic ones,
Which are German, apparently. German cockroaches, you know.
Fuck it.
Sieg Heil, they do the cockroach salute.
Yeah, so the dam busters weren't entirely effective.
but I've got a couple of bonus for people. I don't know how much time we've got for this. Have we got another 10 minutes or so? Yeah. I was watching you.
I've got to tell
night.
You my final story of the cockroaches.
Oh, sorry, go on.
Well, it's just that. So, I don't know if you ever had to use them, but you have to get these things called insect bombs, right?
Oh yeah.
So we had to go down the hardware.
You used to use the Roach
They're
Motel.
About the size of a pint. No, these are about the size. They're like pressurized canisters.
Right.
So you have to get like three per room, and then you have to. So you let them all. Yeah. You have to go around the house.
Is it like grenades?
Letting them all off, and then suddenly you go, and then all this smoke and shit starts coming out the top of them. So you have to do it all over the house.
Doesn't it coat everything?
Well, no. Well, then you have to get the fuck out for about 8 hours. So me, Henrietta, and our dog Stan, we just spent 8 hours just wandering around fucking LA with nothing to do.
Well, did you go to the pub?
Well, we did do a bit of that. Yeah. We had lunch and all that. But it was a bit ridiculous. Yeah. Sunset Boulevard, you know. Three of us with a dog.
Did it do the trick?
Well, then you go back after 8 hours. And it's like the fucking insect apocalypse. You open the door and go, fucking hell.
They're all dead.
There's just thousands of fucking insects all over the place. And then you have to hoover them all up. And then we were free
of
cockroaches.
You can hoover them up while they're still alive, of course.
Yeah. Well, I don't like to. It'd be cruel.
Don't mind fucking mass
murdering. I was
going to
say, that would be cruel. Yeah. But poisoning them with gas, that's all right.
That's fine, by the thousands.
Anyway.
I ran over a pheasant the other day. I felt actually terrible about it. I didn't mean to, obviously, run over the pheasant. Yeah. But I was driving on this quite fast road down in Sussex.
Yeah.
And I was doing about 50. And you see quite a lot of pheasants, but I've never hit one. But this pheasant was just walking across the road like that. And there was a truck coming the other way.
Didn't have to steer too far to hit it.
Yeah. No, I actually did try and avoid it. There was a truck coming the other way. And there was a guy behind me. So I thought, well, I can't fucking stop because the guy will run into me. So I saw it. And as I saw it, and I sort of tried to get it between the two front wheels, which I think I did. So I missed it. But then I heard it on the back left, wheel. I looked in the mirror and it was fucking just lying there. So... But I actually felt quite uneasy about it.
Of course, it's not very nice.
You don't want to kill birds.
It's not your fault, is it?
But somebody told me that apparently if you do that, you're not allowed to fucking pick it up off the road because you can't eat your own roadkill. You're allowed to eat anybody else's roadkill because, apparently they don't encourage people to kill animals. So if you actually run something over like that, you're not meant to pick it up. So luckily I wasn't stopping anyway, so that was all right.
Yeah.
But I mean, a couple of things to point out to you. You were on a show the other night and I thought you'd gone a bit fucking lefty. You started talking about giving the fucking diamonds back to India, fucking Elgin marbles back to
Greece. Don't give a shit. Give them back, couldn't care less.
You said they were stolen.
I said, well,
fuck's wrong with you?
I don't care. I don't give a fuck about the crown jewels.
What about the Kui Noor diamond?
Couldn't give a fuck.
Give it back.
Well, all right, keep it. I don't care.
You're going to pay them reparations.
I don't give a fuck. Keep it or give it back to them. See. It's a fucking stupid sparkling stone. It's a gem.
Well, yeah.
If they want, my view would be, if India want it that much, give them the fucking...
Well, what it had to be, make them fucking pay for it.
If we
give them free money to have a fucking space program, why can't they pay us? And then we'll give it back.
Yeah, whatever. You know, the crown jewels for me, this arse factor zero. Couldn't give a shit.
More importantly,
who lies awake at night going, I don't really worry about the crown jewels?
Well, I don't worry about them, but you might as well say, I don't lie awake at night about my fucking stereo, but I don't give it away to some homeless cunt that fucking knocks on my door and goes, I want that.
In the Indian nation isn't a homeless cunt knocking on
the door. Well, I realise that's not the best analogy. However, nevertheless, some bloke who says, I used to own that, you must have bought it from a junk shop, so I want it back. You wouldn't give it to him, would you?
I agree with you, Mike. There's an element of me which wants to say to India, bollocks, you can't
just
have it.
Up your ass.
And, and you're not having the Elgin marbles either, you Greek tax-evading fuckers. But I don't care. I just, who gives a shit?
As long as you're not going fucking too left.
No, I'm worse than
the
that.
The other thing I noticed was you kept saying A1 instead of AI.
How
the fuck does that even happen?
It wasn't even written up.
How does that even fucking happen, though? What mindset do you have?
I'll tell you what, because on the... You know, would I lie to you? Bob Mortimer did it once, and it's lodged in my mind.
Oh, okay.
And the thing is, you might say, "Oh, look, he's read the auto cue wrong." AI.
No, I didn't think that at all.
I just kept saying it.
No, you just kept saying it. It was a bit like when you kept saying Gary Glitter instead of Gary Lineker. I mean, that was even funnier.
He
actually said, right on the air, he said, "You know, thing is, I've got a problem with Gary Lineker." He's not that bad.
I don't like Gary Glitter. Did it again.
Yeah.
I don't like Gary Lineker, but he's not that bad.
Fucking amazing.
Yeah, I mean,
anyway,
what a cunt.
We should finish this off because we're going to do another Patreon video for those of you who are on Patreon. If you're not on it, you'll hear about Kev's latest incarnations with his tickets and all the rest of it. But I guess we can talk about everything else on there, shall we?
Yeah, let's
do it.
All
the other bits that are left off. So we'll see you soon. Next week, same place. Dave Johnson. Oh, he's sponsored by Suitable Choices, this podcast.
Dave Johnson
is a fine man. Suitablechoices.co.uk, I think it is. It's
it
down
is,
in Margate. Yep. It's for
all the mortgage advice you need.
Yeah,
good man.
So
good
we've
man.
Actually got this right. Incredible. Well played. We'll see you next time. Fuckers. We'll be right back.